Welcome to our service for the Sunday next before Lent. I'm delighted that we've been able to have two friends who've agreed to play organ at Newquay for us. John Walton, who's a parish organist from the north of England, and Jeanette Pope, who's played for us before. And it's sort of in honour of Jeanette's joining us that we have a couple of real nonconformist classics today. And the first of them is this one. Tell me the old, old story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love.
Thank you.
And now our time of penitence. From the Epistle to Hebrews. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Lord God, we have sinned against you and done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May Almighty God have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty Father, whose Son was revealed in majesty before he suffered death upon the cross, give us grace to perceive his glory, that we may be strengthened to suffer with him, and be changed into his likeness, from glory to glory, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. Our Old Testament reading today is from the book of Exodus. Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he'd been talking with God. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, the Israelites would see the face of Moses, that the skin of his face was shining. And Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The reading is taken from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 3, beginning at verse 12. Since we have such a hope, we act with great boldness, not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside. But their minds were hardened. Indeed, to this very day, when they hear the reading of the Old Covenant, that same veil is still there, since only in Christ is it set aside. Indeed, to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. and I drank from that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched, my soul revived, and now I live in Him. I heard the voice of Jesus say, I am this dark world's light. Look up to me, thy dawn shall rise, and all thy day be bright. I came to Jesus, and I found in Him my star, my sun. And in that light of life I'll walk till traveling days are done.
May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I've been away for a few days this week, so the address today is a little shorter than usual. I thought I might give you a short introduction to our Lenten Bible studies on the subject of John's Gospel. As you know, John is different from Matthew, Mark and Luke, the synoptics as we call them, which are much more similar to each other. You may have heard me say before that I think of the difference between John and the synoptics rather like the difference between the familiar London tube map and what a normal map of the tube lines would look like. The tube map with which you're familiar is not really a map at all. It's a plan, tidied up and carefully structured. John is structured in a rather similar way. Though not a map in the true sense, the tube map is much better aid to planning your journey than an ordinary map would be. And that is what the Gospel of John is trying to do, to guide you into a believing relationship with Jesus through clear signposts and milestones along the way. In our Bible studies, we'll be looking at two sets of those milestones that we find only in John. John is concerned, above all, to give us a clear picture of who Jesus is. What is the true significance of this carpenter from Nazareth? Only in John, therefore, do we find what we call the I am statements. Only in John does Jesus say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd, and so on. And these claims about who Jesus is are not just in the second part of these, the way, the truth, the life, the good shepherd, and so on. They are in the very words, I am. In the Old Testament, the Lord says, I am who I am, so that the I am statements in John are claims about the divinity of Jesus. The second set of milestones or signposts which we will consider is what we actually call the signs in John. All four Gospels contain miracle stories, stories of wonderful works of healing which were carried out by Jesus. Think, for example, of the healings of lepers, or of the young man let down through the roof of the house by his friends. Most of these are not in John, but John highlights at greater length a number of miracle stories which have particular meanings. So the wedding at Cana, for example, is only in John. So is the raising of Lazarus. What is different is that John spends time making clear what the meaning of these miracles is. They are not just random acts of love or charity, although they are always those, but miracles with a meaning. Again, a meaning which makes clear John's crucial point about who Jesus is. But the other unique thing about John is that it claims to be the eyewitness gospel. It is the only one of the gospels which can be claimed to be written by one of the closest disciples who knew Jesus best. He is never named in the Gospel. Rather, he is referred to only as the disciple whom Jesus loved. But he is an eyewitness. Near the very end of the Gospel we read, Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them. This is the disciple who is testifying to these things and has written them, and we know that his testimony is true. It is with that testimony of the beloved disciple that our Lent groups will be concerned. Amen.
I would you all gorch ar byd Hen ffychore, hen ffychore A caf ei wedyd fel yma A caf ei wedyd fel yma Ros un saron yw
Now it's time for our prayers. We begin, as usual, with the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Entad yr hynoeten yn efoedd, sancteiddio dy enw, deled y dernas, gwnela dy wychlis, megis yn en ef, fechli ar y ddear hefyd. Dyro ni heddiw ein bar y beinyddiol, y maddau i ni ein dyledion, fel y maddewn unna ein dyledwyr, ac nac arwain ni y brofedigaeth, Eithi gwared ni rhag drwg, canu seithod ti o'r dernas a'r gallu a'r gogoniant yn oes oesoedd. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen.
Let us pray. An opening prayer. From the moment we awake to face the day ahead, you are with us through good times and bad. Your presence enough for our needs. Every day I will praise you. Through the hours of the day in our travels and work, you are with us. In decisions we must make, your wisdom enough for our needs. Every day I will praise you. As we lay down to rest at the end of the day, you are with us as we lay our fears at your feet. Your peace enough for our needs. Every day I will praise you. Amen. A prayer for Lent. Forgive those things we have done which have caused you sadness, and those things we should have done that would have brought you joy. In both we have failed ourselves and you. Bring us back to that place where our journey began, when we said that we would follow the way that you first trod. Lead us to the cross and meet us there. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. A prayer for the world. Dear Lord, once again we see how cruel and self-centred some national leaders are in their utter contempt for loss of life. We see once again in the invasion of Ukraine the face of evil in our midst. We pray for the people of the Ukraine as they try to cope with an unprovoked attack on their nation. We ask you to give them strength and courage in this dark time. We pray that other nations who support the rule of international law find an appropriate way to respond to this naked aggression. We pray for a peaceful and just outcome for the Ukrainian people as they face their hour of great need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. A prayer for our country. We give thanks for all those involved in developing vaccines to combat COVID-19 that has now enabled our nation to move forward to something approaching normality. We remember with sadness the 140,000 who succumbed to this awful virus. We also remember with gratitude all those in the NHS who gave such selfless service. As we move forward, let caution be our watchword, as restrictions ease or are totally dispensed with. We pray for all those who have suffered during the recent storms, those who have lost their homes and those still without power. We pray for the members of the electricity networks who work in often very unpleasant conditions as they try to restore the power lines. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our brothers and sisters. We pray for all those worldwide who suffer persecution, imprisonment and ostracism for their faith. We pray that your Holy Spirit will bring them courage to continue the fight against the powers of darkness. We pray for our own clergy in our local ministry area, for Matthew, for Judith, for John and Helwyn, as they lead our LMA forward into a new era. Bless them through the love of Christ and power of your Holy Spirit to give them strength and wisdom for this task. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the sick. Healing God, bless those on a journey of recovery from illness or surgery. Grant strength, patience and freedom from pain. Bring restoration of health through your Spirit's power. Reach out and touch them so they know you are there, bringing comfort and light even in the darkest of times. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who mourn. We pray for all those who wake this morning to the pain of grief and loss. Help us share with them as best we can our love and support at their loss. Lord, we pray that you will be with them on their bereavement journey, in the dark times as they try to cope with feelings beyond what we can imagine. Walk with them as they slowly accept the loss and start to see your light shining in their lives once again, knowing that we will all meet again in your glorious kingdom in heaven. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ.
Sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. That bright and cloudless morning when the dead in Christ shall rise and the glory of his resurrection share. When his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn to setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, we'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Christ give you grace to grow in holiness, daily to take up your cross and follow him. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon you and remain with you this day and always. Amen.